So we made it. It is the final day, Michael. I hope you have something to impress us with. So
I'm feeling jolly impressive.
I
My wife took one look at me before I came downstairs and said, "It's okay, they'll love you for your mind." We're going to do this. Here's the two things I thought I'd start us off with, as it's our kind of final day of this live interactive bit of this. You've got the videos, right? So in other words, it's not, you've got these audios. You can go back and use this again and again, check in. You'll hear different things when you go back to it. That's the nature of any conversation about the principles. That's why I sort of, when I was writing the Inside Out Revolution, I'd thought maybe I should tell people to read the book three times or something. And then I thought, oh, that's ridiculous. Nobody's going to do that. And the most common comment that I get about that book is, boy, the third time I read it. So there's something that kind of people seem to intuitively pick up on, that there's more to this than the surface level conversation about how thought works, how feeling works, and how creativity and this deeper intelligence comes through us. So that would really be an encouragement for you. Maybe not straight away, but to deliberately leave it and come back to it. Maybe the next time you take on a project, maybe the next time you're making a shift in work, maybe the next time you're feeling bored or stuck or a little aimless, go back and do it again. And you're going to hear different things and you're going to hear things different. So I wanted to kind of say that, where in that sense, yes, we're done today with this, but the program's not done. The program's there for you. It's a resource. And it's really a resource pointing you towards the resource that is always with you, the resource that is always with any of us, this deeper intelligence, this deeper creativity, this deeper mind, this deeper connection with life. That when we are awake to our connection with it, we are part of the flow of life. We are part of life taking form. We are an essential part of the creative process. We are the tree that life flows through us and bears fruit. And that fruit is what we think of as our success, or what others would describe as our success. Well, look at all the fruit on that grapefruit tree. Wow, what do they do? Well, what they do is they're just alive to the life force in them. They're alive to this deeper intelligence in them. They're alive to the universal mind. And because of that, they bear fruit, because they are made to bear fruit. We are made to bear fruit. We are made to create in the world. We're makers. And the fruits of that are what other people would call success. And to me, and this probably will change. Like if you ask me this in a year, I don't know if I'll have this answer. If you asked me this a year ago, I don't know if I would have had this answer. To me, success is in being part of the process. Success is being alive to the sap in the tree. Bearing fruit is the fruit. But I don't think my grapefruit tree takes any particular pride in the grapefruit. I get loves. Okay, I'm making shit up now. We know this, right? But it's a metaphor, right? But I do. I would think if a tree, if we kind of give it some humanness, I would think it loves that it bears fruit. I would think it loves when that fruit is eaten and enjoyed. But I don't think it feels a personal pride, like, look what I did. And, you know, did you see the orange tree next door? Those crappy little things. My grapefruit are like that. Right? It's not a comparative kind of a thing, because it's not personal in that way. It is that recognition of being used. Of being used by this larger force to be a vehicle of creation. That's, as best I can tell, a huge part of what we're here for. And to do that consciously, to do that deliberately, to allow yourself to be used in that way by life. I don't know a richer way of being in the world. I don't know a more fulfilling way of being in the world. And you will bear fruit. You already have. You will bear more. If you're a grapefruit tree, there's no use pining and wishing that you could bear oranges. Right? There's no use setting goals about producing beautiful apples. But if you allow yourself to, you'll find that there is something so beautiful in the grapefruit that come from you. Because they come from you. They could not come from anyone else. There are other grapefruit, but these are the grapefruit that could only come through you. This is the life as it can only be lived by you and through you. That's success. You know, there's a famous quote, I can't remember who it is, that success is to live your life on your own terms. Well, I think that's half right. I think success is to live your life in harmony with life's terms. And it will be unique to you, as it is unique to me, as it is unique to Lynn, as it is unique to any one of us. It will always have the flavor of you. But it belongs to life. And that relationship with it, that personal, impersonal relationship with our success is what allows us to keep on. Because when it starts becoming all about us, we shrink. We get into our psychology. We get into our neurosis. We get smaller and smaller and pettier and more fearful. And we pull something off and we go, and we don't even want to try the next thing. We don't want to throw ourselves back into the fray because it was so exhausting. Or if we were successful, yeah, but what if next time I fail? If you try and get all zen and hippie and, oh, it's just the universe, I'm not even here, it becomes empty very quickly. It does feel meaningless. It does feel like nothing. As far as I can tell, you will always retain the flavor of you. It's just that a little goes a long way. You don't need to add, right? It's a very, you are a very strong seasoning. And as such, you can take yourself out of the way without fearing that you'll disappear. You can take yourself out of the way knowing that the flavor of you will flavor everything that comes through you. And that makes it your unique contribution to the world. Not as a giant statue of yourself that, aha, they must have been important. I don't know if you where you live, if you get the chance to see this, but I always remember walking around London. There are so many statues of people, I have no idea who they are, right? That's the problem with statues of us. You know, it's like with the best role in the world, it's like, oh, some guy who is famous at some point. You know, oh, some woman who must have done something important. But energetically, that flavor lingers. You can feel it you can feel the architect in a building, right? You can feel the chef in a good meal. You can feel the author in a good book. You can feel the musician in a good song, but not just the musician. You can feel, and forgive me, I don't know if I've used this word yet before, you can feel God in them. Right? You can feel this higher mind in them. You can feel God as it comes through that person. God, this energy as it comes through you. That is success. That's the stuff that impacts people in the world. That is what they would call transcendent. It still has the flavor of the human, but it goes beyond the human. It is human, right? It's all our hopes and dreams and emotions and pleasures and pains. But it's also God. And to be a vehicle for that, to be of use in that way, to be put to work by the universe, it's a great gig. Now, you don't have to do it, right? You can fight it. You can try and do it yourself. I don't believe in a universe. Okay. I mean, if you take it out of the realms of a religious theological figure, I think it's very difficult to not believe in a larger energy that we are a part of. Well, however you would describe it, you can feel it. You can feel it in you. And if you allow that feeling to come up in you and to come through you, it will guide you. And you will bear fruit because you are made to bear fruit. And that fruit is what other people will call success. And you get to have whatever opinion about it you want. That's quite enough of a sermon. Let us go back to you. So our last call together, what do you guys want to talk about?
Okay, we're going to start with my fellow Glaswegian. Let's go to Frankie.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Frankie.
Really neat to speak with you, and thank you very much for a great course, and this has been a great week. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm looking forward to doing the self-study program. I think that's the next step for me. But I've got a question on the final day about creativity. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite a creative person. I'm really creative. I'm always creating, whether it's websites and projects for other people or projects for myself. So this is specifically about websites. And if you put a label on it, I think people would call it either OCD or perfectionism. But in the light of the three principles, there's definitely a thought feeling thing going on. So the example is, I've never formally did coaching. I've always been involved in other businesses, but I've never formally been a coach. But since discovering the three principles, I'm now finding that I think this might be the thing that I'm going to start doing. So when I create my own website, I must have about 8 versions of my own personal website. So if you can imagine your website, makeonly.org, I've created my own website and I've got 8 different versions. And I put it up and then I take it down. And it's always based on how I'm feeling about it and if it really represents who I am today or is it trying to be who I want to be. And if that one pixel, if it's out of place, it puts the whole thing off. So some days I'm thinking, this is it. And it's a great feeling. Tell the world I'm here. Or it's, wow, this is completely not it. It's an uncomfortable feeling. And then I go back hiding underneath the sheets. And then I think maybe I'll try again tomorrow. So for me, it's a real sandstorm about websites and my own personal representation or who I am and trying to tell people about my history, my background, and how I can help people. So
at what point, Frankie, do you intend to stop growing and changing?
Never.
Okay, then you're kind of screwed on the website front.
Okay.
If the idea is that the website is going to be a perfect representation of you, unless the website continues to grow and change, which is what you're doing, you just keep putting up new ones, or you allow the website to be fluid.
Okay.
You allow it to be, yes, a snapshot in time, but also a description of a journey. Right, because if you're not going to stop growing and changing, the website will only be perfect for a day at most, ever.
Yeah.
So that's just, you've set yourself up a challenge where either you have to create a new website every day or you have to stop growing and changing the way you've got it set up. Now, websites don't have to do that. They just have to have the feel of you.
Yeah.
Right? And the feel of you doesn't change that much that quickly. I'm sure it is different. Like the feel of you now to when I first met you is different. So yeah, you'd need a different website now than you would have when I first met you.
Yeah.
But you could have probably gotten away with either of them for 5 or 6 years, right?
Yeah.
So that's one part of it. Now the second part, and this is just a general, more general point. So I was interviewing a woman named Mickey Agrawal for Hay House, and she's an entrepreneur. She started a company called Thinks, and basically, she has a series of companies that she started in the States, and they're huge, and they're very controversial because they deal with bodily issues. So Thinks is sexy underwear for women having their period.
Okay.
Right? And she had ads all over the New York subways, and it was incredibly controversial. You can't do that. Well, apparently you can. Right? She does other underwear for women who pee. Right? She does portable bidets. She does. She's just like the, you know, the queen of bodily functions. And but for her, it's part of a mission. Like, she's very mission driven. She's very much about eliminating shame. She's very much about normalizing. And each one of her companies is tied to a foundation that takes care of women's issues in third world countries. So she's this incredible woman, and she her philosophy, her number one phrase is iteration is perfection. And when I asked her, well, what does that mean? Right? She said, well, success is iterative. You do something knowing that the next iteration will be better. And then the next iteration will be better. The perfection is in iterating. The perfection is in doing exactly what you're describing. That's not now, okay, yes, it may also just be neurotic and self-doubting. I'm not saying it can't be that too.
Yeah.
But the fact that you keep going back to it, that's how greatness gets perfected. That's how things get good. That's how, you know, people don't, there's almost nothing that comes out of the can perfect. Like maybe a 3-minute pop song. But even that, I was watching a documentary, it's a really nice documentary about Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre, called The Defiant Ones. And they, for people who don't know who they are, they're just titans of the music industry, one from the kind of rock and roll side and one from the rap side. And one of the stories that kind of blew my mind is, so Jimmy Iovine, 19-year-old kid, is working on Born to Run, the album Born to Run. And they spent 6 months trying to get the drum sounds right. Now, that's an album I grew up listening to. That's an album that established Bruce Springsteen as an icon. That's an album that you know, is absolutely of a time, right? It is representative of a time. They spent 6 months, not on the album, trying to get the drum sounds on the album right. Iteration is perfection. Now, some stuff's not worth that, right? There is absolutely a lot of stuff we take on that does not need that degree of attention. But the stuff that's worthwhile, it's worthwhile. What do you hear in that?
Again, it's a feeling I'm getting, Michael. And the feeling is, I think if I follow that feeling, it's going to take me to where I need to be. So I think I'll just let that process through. Absolutely. Of course it helps. Everything.
Yeah,
that, no, that's why I'm here.
That's fine.
Listening.
That's, no, that, no, but, don't yeah. let me, no, that's, you're good. That's a perfect answer.
Yeah.
But, all right. Thank you. Thank you, Frankie. Nice
Bye,
to see
take
you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bye. Frankie. Okay. Next up, let's go to...
There's somebody named James, we got an email this morning from someone, I think his name was James, who's
the one that Annette sent through.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he wasn't going to be on the call. I think that was why he emailed in, but I've got him. I'll time to read it out.
Okay, great. We'll get to it. Sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the lovely Gretchen next. Go ahead, Gretchen, all yours.
Okay. First of all, I have appreciated this so much. And as I was thinking about Obstacle Course, the name of the course, and having ideas of where I'm at this stage of my life and what I want to do, I'm retired 4 years ago and I'm going to be, in 2018, I will be 80 years old.
Dun, but, dun, you know, dun.
And it's like, what do I want to be doing? What direction do I want to go? What do I want to accomplish? And I've had this idea back here sort of percolating for a while. And it's writing a book about and for one of my grandsons who's 17 and a senior in high school. And I've watched him grow, you know, and I've watched him get, and he even knows this because he talks about it, really good at manipulating his parents, especially his mother, because I'm with them more. And I can see that it's gotten him in trouble. You know, he's got some habits that are really, and he's said, I don't want this to continue, but he doesn't have a clue how to maneuver and change, or, you know, whatever it is. So I am going to write a book or a booklet or something and make a story out of my experience with him and of him, for him. And I want to have it done by the time he graduates from high school.
Okay.
And work with a friend of mine for illustrations, because he's an illustrator. So I guess I'm just saying this out loud and sharing this with people, so that it, having said that, helps keep me moving. So it's not so much a question. You might have something to say. It's more of a sharing about a commitment I'm making.
Beautiful. You know, can you try one thing for me?
Sure.
Just say, I'm going to write a book.
I'm going to write a book.
Because you were right on, and then you kind of went, or a booklet, or a graphic novel, or a memo on a piece of sticky paper, or right. Yes, yeah. Speak it into being, but speak what you want to create into being.
Yes.
Don't speak what you might settle for later.
Okay.
You might, right? It might, and it would be fine if you do, but start where you actually want to go.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. We're way too reasonable, us human beings.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really, really unfortunate habit.
when you say that, start where you want to go, I can feel that in my being, that that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
That's the gift I have. And to not be shy about that. To know I have something to offer. I mean, I know that. It's not to know, I know that. At last, I know that in my life.
I just saw you with a t-shirt that said on the front, I am grandma. And on the back, it says, fear me.
I like that.
Well, that's lovely. Thank you, Gretchen.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Gretchen. Okay, next up, let's go to the lovely Lee. It's all yours.
Wouldn't it be sad if Lynn introduced you as the adequate Bob? I mean, everybody's here's the dead weight that's holding us all back, Michael. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly how I introduced you. Yeah, we just cut that out of the recording so you don't hear it.
All right. Where's the lovely Lee then?
She's here. Can you hear us, Lee? Oh, I can't hear you. Do you want to check your mic and I'll come back to you? Check your mic's plugged in and I'll come back to you next. Okay, let's go to Michael Young next. Go ahead, Michael.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. I just actually want to share something that's happened to me recently that I don't think would have happened had it not been for this course and the advanced course before it. About 3 weeks ago, I decided to do a masterclass on... As a result of an email that came in, a place became available. I had a quick look at it and I had a very open feeling about it. And I trusted that. And in the past, I would have thought a lot about it, weighed all sorts of things up, gone left and right. But I just trusted and I went with that. I emailed the person, paid my money. And every now and again, you know, I had the ifs and buts and, you know, I could feel that noise, but I knew that it was just noise. So I just carried on, got on with it. And there I was. I arrived there and pretty quickly I was like, yeah, I'm glad I came. And then the week proceeded. I got on really well with the teacher. He was extremely supportive. And I thought, yeah, damn it. This is really good that I'm here. I ended up in the final concert. It went really well. I just literally had an email back from him just now, actually, giving me some feedback, which was extremely positive. Nice. But all the time, I was just sort of allowing it to happen. A bit like those trees that you were talking about bearing fruit. I love that description, analogy. And I must say, more and more, I feel like I'm living a kind of guided life, certainly trusting that. And I just wanted to share that. Past Michael Young would have thought and thought, weighed up and all blah, 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 you know the story. And doing things like that, and to be honest, a pretty unreasonable way. I knew my feelings weren't coming from my thinking. But that particular space that opened up when that masterclass arrived, I don't know, I did it, and it was beautiful. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I have to plug it, you know.
I've read it.
That space? No, but it's right. That space, as it opens up in us, is the most beautiful space to operate out of. It's the most beautiful space we can live from. And one of the real fruits of this conversation is we get to live in it more and more.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael. Okay, let me
just also check the other person. Somebody raised a question on chat yesterday about how do you love something you hate, kind of a question. If that was you, raise your hand, send us a note in chat, because I'd love to talk about it if there's somebody to talk about it with. You know, I can talk about it in the abstract, but I'd rather talk about it with a human. So just putting that out there.
Okay, let's go to Verena next. Go ahead, Verena, it's all yours.
Hello. Well, I'm a bit confused, and I hope you can help me. Because I have so many things that I want to do, and I have a huge to-do list of things that I think I have to do, and also things I would like to do. And in the end, I'm confused that I don't even know which is which.
So what are you actually doing?
Well,
like if we'd made a documentary about the last 6 months of your life, mm-hmm. what would we be following you doing?
All kinds of stuff. Cooking, taking care of the horses, reading, mm-hmm. participating in webinars, all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
But cool. Yeah. Yeah. But nothing where I think I would, that would be big or fun. I don't know.
How do you decide what to do?
I think what's most urgent, maybe.
Okay. So you're on this webinar now because, crap, it's 4 o'clock or whatever time it is where you are. Like, is that it?
No, because I think it's great and it is fun. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. All right. So you don't just make decisions by what's urgent. You do have a sense of fun. You do look, your eyes twinkle. You have a sense of fun. Mm-hmm. Let's put that one away. But
yeah. Okay.
I haven't divided it up like this necessarily much on this program, but I sometimes think of it in terms of, look, there's our psychology and then there's us. And our psychology is a mess. Everyone's psychology is a mess, right? I remember a psychiatrist coming up to Paul McKenna and I at a cocktail party and saying, well, everyone is neurotic and damaged. What's yours? It's like, to a point, she actually had a point. You know, psychologically speaking, we're all a little bit effed up, right? So to go deeper in there to try and get the good stuff, it's not in there, right? You've got a psychology. I've got a psychology. We can make some inroads there, but it's always going to be a little messy. So to kind of try and sort through your thoughts, that's not where what you're looking for is. What you're looking for is in the twinkle. What you're looking for is in the sense of fun. What you're looking for is in that kind of openness that Michael described. And it comes up into it. It comes up through it. You can't find it because it's not there yet. You've got to open the space for it to emerge. Right? We go look in the world for what should I do? What should I do? What's going to excite me? What's going to be fun for me? What's going to make me happy? It doesn't work that way. Hmm. That's in us. And we project it out into the world. Hmm. And you've got experiences of that. You have to have experiences of that. Right? Why do you work with horses? Because you hate them?
No. For sure not.
Okay. So you know what it is to kind of fall in love with something, to be drawn to something, to throw yourself into something, right? Yeah. It's that.
Mm. Yeah. And I mean, this webinar is the best example, really. Like your John Grisham book example. Mm. I mean, that was what I wanted to do. So yeah, I made my day fit around it. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to go on a to-do list. Mm. Right, the stuff I really want to do, I sometimes add to the to-do list so I can cross it off later, but it doesn't need to go on the to-do list. It's just happening. Right, the to-do list is for all the crap I don't want to do, but I think I have to.
True. Yeah, great. Thank you.
Cool.
That helped. Thank you, a lot. Marina.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, we have found our mystery question answers. Carol, I'm going to unmute you. Can you hear us now? Yes.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, so, I don't know, it may have changed since you posted it, but I thought it was I'm teaching a whole course on it, so obviously I think it's an important question, so I'd love good. To.
No, you know, it was just at the end of yesterday, you said, somebody was talking with you and you said the secret to success was not doing anything you're not passionate, something, you said.
Yeah, there was a research study that showed that one of the few common elements of people who had experienced, been at or near the top of their field for 20 years or more, was that they had figured out what they didn't like doing and stopped doing it. And then I extrapolated on from that and said that the other thing that I've seen that gets you to that same place is if there's something that you can't or won't cut out of your life or cut out of your business, you might as well fall in love with it.
Hmm. Yeah. So when you said that, it, you know, it's like the last 3 minutes, and I just thought, well, that's pretty easy to say, but how do you actually do that? Let's say you hate building a website.
Yeah.
But you don't have somebody to do it for you, or or the person you have to do it for you isn't doing it.
Yeah, no. Just to poke a random example out of the sky that has no personal relevance. Yeah. No, okay.
So anyway, that was I actually hadn't thought about that before. I was just trying to come up with it. So yeah, you're saying just fall in love with it. Well, what if it's just something you don't love?
Well, so it raises a much bigger and more important, like useful question, which is how does engagement work? How does love work?
Yeah.
And when in doubt about how human beings are designed, I skew young. Right? So in other words, go back, look at little kids, right? Little kids indiscriminately love stuff, or maybe it's yucky, but even that's kind of fun, right? Mm. They don't yet discriminate, right? They are indiscriminate lovers of life, right? Mm. Babies think sucking on feet and looking at little ducks is fun, right? Well, we unlearn that. We learn to discriminate. We learn to pick and choose, and we become quite picky and quite choosy. Now, that has its merits. I'm not suggesting it doesn't, but it gets in the way of our falling in love with what we're going to be doing anyways. Because but for our being so grown up and we know what we like and we know what we don't, that indiscriminate let's see is still in us.
But that's not the same as like being passionate about it.
Well, I would never want to put pressure on myself to feel passionate about something.
Okay.
But I know that if I can get beyond all my thinking about something and just throw myself into it, I usually wind up loving it. Right? Even people, right? I don't know that I would still describe myself this way, but for a long time, I was pretty judgmental about people, except for my clients. And my wife once said, we were having a conversation, she said, you should just have everybody in the world as a client. Because boy, do you hold your clients in a completely different space than you hold the rest of humanity. And I think it's less true now because I've seen that. And I've seen, wow, that's random. Clearly, you know, I see some stranger, shouting at their kid, and they, oh, they're what a horrible person! My God, rah rah rah. One of my clients does, and I go, oh my God, what's going on with you? You okay? It's same thing. It's in me, and it's the same with work. Now, I wrote. I mean, this is just happened, but like I wrote a section on this in the new book, In Creating the Impossible, and literally as I finished writing that section, I walk out of my office and the dog has done the biggest diarrhea shit right outside my door. Now, my first reaction is not, I'm going to love this. My first reaction is effing dog. Rah, rah, rah. But then I kind of went, huh, I wonder if I could enjoy even this. So I put my thinking aside because I was going to clean it anyways. I got creative. I realized, oh, there's a hose that I can get to without stepping in this. I wound up hosing down the whole area. I wound up actually, the outside of my office had never looked so good. The whole thing took about 5 minutes. It was really fun. And I went, holy crap. I could love cleaning up dog diarrhea outside my office. Now, that does not mean I'm going to get dogs with stomach problems and have them queue up. That does not mean that's going to be my new business, but as long as I'm going to have to deal with it anyways, I'd much rather deal with it from that place in me. And I do a much better job from that place in me.
When you say that place in you, I mean, all I'm hearing is you ask yourself, how can I enjoy this? Is that the key? Because you're not really saying how you get there. You're just telling me you get there, but you're not saying how you get there.
The reason that it's difficult to give you what you'd that. Like from that mm-hmm. is because it's an undoing, not a doing. In other words, I may have asked myself that question, but it wasn't because, oh, this is a good, powerful question to ask myself. It might have come up in me, how can I enjoy this? But it came up in me because I let go of, I hate this, this is unfair, I don't want to play anymore. So if there's a doing, it's letting go of the hate. It's letting go of the resentment. It's letting go of the I shouldn't have to deal with this. And then something that, and then I'm in the space, and then something comes through the space. So that's why I can't give you a doing.
Okay.
But it's there underneath it. Play with it. You know, it's sort of, see if you can get a feel for it. Because it is different. It's not additive.
Okay. Can I ask you one other thing? Since
yeah.
I was trying to listen to all of the sessions again, but I didn't get up to the ones, the real big ones, you know, the people, the money, the time. Anyway, the thing about people is, you know, when I think of why I am not more successful, I guess the story I have is it's something about people. Not that somebody's stopping me, but that I don't know how to be that kind of popular person that it would, you know what I mean? That I'm just not, that kind of person that people are going to sign up for my thing or, I don't know. You know, let's say I wanted to do a painting workshop in France. Like, I just don't know how to get people to sign up for that. I'm not in a, you know what I mean?
Well, not quite. Like, because that would suggest that people sign up for workshops because you're charming. Now, sometimes, sometimes for some people, that's true. But honestly, a lot of my best teachers were assholes and bitches.
That's true.
Didn't like them, but I learned a lot from them.
Okay, so then there's the sort of the skill part. You know,
if you can really help people be much better painters, they'll sign up for your workshop. Might take you a little longer than somebody with shiny teeth, but not much longer.
It's funny that you said the teeth thing, but I'll I was in an accident. I had my teeth knocked out of my head.
Oh, actually, it was an insult originally aimed at me. That was when I first went on the Johnny Walker show in London. He introduced me as, right, next up, our next guest is Michael Neal. He's another one of these shiny-teethed Americans here to tell us what we should be doing with our lives. So that's where that actually came from. But But look, do finish the program. Right, do go to the big session. See what comes from them.
I did.
Oh, you did. Oh, okay.
I was going through a second time.
Yeah. Okay.
To be like what? Yeah. You know, because it does take going through more than once.
Yeah. No. Well, that's why it's there.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol. Cool. Okay. Next up, let's go to Robert. Go ahead, Robert. All yours.
Hi,
By
Michael.
The way, Frankie, cute kid. Sorry, Robert. I just had to get that in. I saw it in the corner of my screen. I didn't want to let it pass. Hello.
Hello. I saw it too. Very cute kid. So we spoke on Tuesday, and I wanted to thank you for this. Is an awesome program. So since then, I have another question, but I just wanted to quickly let you know that I've seen some things since then that have
great.
That have helped. My feelings I see are variable. I see I'm shitting in my nest. I see I'm also shitting around my nest because I've made it hard for me to leave and also stay. So that's been, but I'm still continuing to see all of this and trying to listen for the inner voice. So I don't really have an answer yet, but it's moving.
But now you're looking in the right direction.
Yeah. And I can feel that. So
great.
Thank you. My other question was, I'm not having a lot of clarity around other people as an obstacle. I am working with a person, and you know, I'm meant to collaborate with this person and work very closely with them, but they are feeling like a very big obstacle because it all needs to be about them or him. And he seems to always want to feel he needs to feel like he's a hero in many situations. And so, you know, my immediate reaction to that is to, or the place I find myself in now is to blame him for progress in my own career sort of thing. And I know, from the little bit I know and have practiced this stuff, that that can't be true all the time. So.
Have you ever read any biographies of Hollywood producers?
No.
Like, I can't remember if, like Robert Evans, The Kid Stays in the Picture, there's actually a movie, he did a movie of it, and a book is a good one, and there's a lot out there. Well, they're dealing with the biggest, most fragile egos in the world, because they all collect here in Hollywood.
Right.
This is their spiritual home. Mm-hmm. Right. And to get a movie made, you have to work with those egos. Right. Otherwise, there's no movie.
Right.
Now, sometimes you do that by bullying. Sometimes you do that by sucking up. Sometimes you do that through gross acts of manipulation that make Operation Double Cross from World War II look subtle, right? But the truth is, if you want to get a movie made, you get a movie made. and you do what you need to do with the people involved. Now, if you were his therapist or his coach or his life partner, you might want to work on his ego, right? You might want to get him over that, but you're not. He's just somebody who's part of your creative process at the moment.
Okay.
So in other words, here's my wager. I would wager that if you didn't think you shouldn't have to kowtow to his ego, that you shouldn't have to put up with his stupidity, that you shouldn't have to deal with his babiness, I don't know how, what it's like, right, like that you would suddenly get really creative about how to work with him. Yeah. Because he's just another, he's like the temperamental paintbrush in your palette, right? He's the one you have to coax to get beautiful art out of, right? There are other paintbrushes that just do what they're told, but this one I've got to talk nice to. Right? I have a friend who's a car mechanic, and he's a car whisperer, right? He talks about it that way. He says, yeah, there's some cars that just need to know you love them before they'll run for you. I mean, you know, Jaguars, apparently, the old Jaguars, he said, they really need to know you care. Yeah. He said, Mercedes, you just switch the parts out, but Jaguars. Well.
Okay. Same thing. Yeah. That's actually really helpful because as you're saying that, I'm remembering times where I did do that and it was much easier to work with him.
Go figure.
Yeah. How about that? All right. Thank you very much.
No, a pleasure. Let me make a more general point off that just before we move on to the next person, Lynn, which is you could kind of say this with any of the areas. If we don't take the obstacle personally, we're going to handle it much better. If we don't take our thinking that says, I shouldn't have to deal with this, it's not fair, other people don't, what, like all of that is part of our story about us. It's just not going to get us anywhere. I'm not even arguing with it, right? Maybe in a different world that shouldn't be the case. But I only know how to create in this world. I only know how to create now. I only know how to create with what I've got in front of me. And so whatever I got in front of me, that's what I'm working with. And if I've got $5, I'm working with $5. And if I've got $5 million, I'm working with $5 million. And if I've got unlimited time, I've got unlimited time. And if I've got an hour, I've got an hour. And if I've got people who are really on board and engaged at the start, cool. And if I've got people who are really on their own thing, all about them, well, cool. That's what I'm working with. You know, we used to put on shows. One of the things about theater that was different to film that I learned early on was in film, you're trying to create something evergreen. You're trying to create something that will still be great 100 years from now. In theater, you're trying to create the best experience on that night with that audience in whatever mood they're in, with this cast in whatever mood they're in. The only really thing that's ever unchanging is the script. And life is much more like the play than the movie most of the time. We just deal with what we got in front of us. And that's not to say that what we've got in front of us now is going to be what we've got in front of us tomorrow. It's amazing how people change when we stop holding them in place. Right? They surprise us. They act out of character. And it's because we don't see our part in the dance. We think, well, they're like that, and I'm just I'm moving around them. And if I come at them this way, and if I come at them this way, they're not fixed either. And so it's not just possible, it's pretty common that when we stop holding somebody in a certain way, they start behaving differently. Not if we do it as a trick, right? I think I even mentioned on one of these sessions, the guy who called in, a woman who called into my radio. So I'd done a radio show on unconditional love, and she called in the next week and said, yeah, I tried the unconditional love thing with my husband. It didn't work. What else have you got? Right? So it's not tactical. It's just how it works. Anyways, we got time. Yeah, we got time. Yeah. Let's get at least one more in, and then
Yeah, let's try and Lee and see if her mic's working. Can we hear you now?
Hello.
Yay!
Lovely Lee.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, so my question is, it is an obstacle, but it's a bit more specific to how you might be working with the three principles. And Lynn, it's something that you and I touched on as well, so it might sound familiar. When you know when you've got involved in the conversation and you're pushing the agenda about the principles, you're doing, it's a red flag. You're trying to persuade. You've gone there. And I think I've had this experience, not through a, you know, get my principles, you know, from an ego place. It's much more an enthusiasm of, I'm so excited this would help this person if they got it place. I just wondered if you'd ever done that perhaps earlier on in your career, and kind of how you backtrack once you suddenly think, uh-oh, I'm pushing it. I'm pushing the agenda here. I know this is not helpful. And I'm not sure where to go now.
So if the question is, have I ever been a dick? Yes. The second part of the question is I'm very, very, very willing to apologize. I have never, that I can think of, had the intention of bullying anyone, badgering anyone, trying to impose my worldview on anyone, making somebody think a certain way, or harming them in any way. I just never have. I know that about me. So if somebody feels hurt or offended or upset at something I say, I didn't do my job. And it was unintended, and I will apologize for it. And because it's a sincere apology, people, I can't think of a place where somebody hasn't taken that apology. But I will also often say, hey, can I try again different? Can I come at this a different way? And invariably they say yes. Because they also get that I sincerely do want to help them. I sincerely do want to offer them that I think will be helpful. So to backtrack a little bit, the way you avoid that usually is just by making sure you've got a client before you start coaching, making sure you've got a student before you start teaching. Right? That's what leads to the thing is you, oh, I can help with that, blah, blah, blah. And the other person's like, mate, I was just talking. Like, what are you doing? You know, so that will take care of most of it, is just making sure that this is the conversation they want to be in. Right? But when you get it wrong, and if you're doing it right, you'll get it wrong sometimes, because, you know, it means that you're trying more instead of holding yourself back more, then why wouldn't you apologize and try again?
Thank you. Yeah.
Can I ask, what did you hear?
I heard do they want to be in the conversation? And I don't think I'd stopped to ask myself that. It was probably an assumption on my part.
Yeah. You may even not want to ask yourself that. You may want to ask them that.
Yeah.
They probably have a better idea of that than you do.
Yeah. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you, Lee. And so let me make a couple of general points, and then I'll bring us to a close. So that's one of the downsides to teaching in this kind of a format is there's a tacit permission. The fact that you guys are here is a tacit permission for me to coach you. Right? The fact that you would raise your hand is a reinforcement of that permission. So you don't often hear me asking. Now, I will sometimes, if I know I'm liable to be wandering into sensitive territory, ask permission to wander into sensitive territory. But on the whole, I don't check to see if you want to have this conversation, because you paid money to have this conversation. Out in the real world, that's not the context. That's not the given. So I can't really role model that, because it's not relevant to this dance, to this conversation, but it's incredibly relevant in the real world, right? I've had people on a couple of occasions you know, ask me for my elevator pitch about the principles. And I don't have one. But I don't have one because I've never met somebody in an elevator I want to pitch. Right? I'm not going around trying to convert random strangers to the religion of whatever the hell we're talking about. Like, I don't see it that way. I see this as an incredibly helpful understanding of how life works. That when people see things about it, their lives get better. I love it. It's made a huge difference in my life. I love sharing it. If you're interested, I'm going to make it as available to you as I can. And if you're not, we're going to, if our lives cross, we're going to spend time together. Hopefully we'll connect. We'll have fun. We'll talk about sports. We'll watch TV. We'll share a pint. We'll do whatever we do. Right? My wife doesn't know what the hell I do for a living. Right? We're 30 years in. It hasn't held us back. It's not like, and this is the thing. I mean, I'm not saying, hey, be like me. I'm just saying, I can tell you, you don't have to lead with this for people to get it, because they feel you. They feel good when they're around you. They feel quieter when they're around you. They feel smarter when they're around you. They feel more open when they're around you. Over time, they watch you handle your life and they go, huh, I like the way she handles her life. And then they come to you and they go, hey, what are you doing? What's going on? Talk to me. And then you can have an amazing conversation. Sometimes it works the other way. Sometimes you just see somebody in pain and you want to help them. Your heart goes out to them. And you go to them and you say, hey, I think I can help you with that. Would you be open to a conversation about it? And if they are, great. And if they're not, you give them a hug and go on your way. Right? Your people will find you. Right? Your flock knows your scent. Right? The people you are here to serve will seek you out, or they will recognize you when you seek them out. And it works both ways. You start to get a real feel for who's going to hear you. And you find your way. Now, I know that's not relevant to all of you, but, you know, for those of you who do have this conversation as a part of what you do, it's very relevant. I want to say you're going to get, we haven't sent them the email yet, have we, Lynn?
Yep, gone.
Oh, we did. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you've got an email, or you're about to get an email, or you've had an email that I'm going to do another advanced course in November. Those of you who were on the advanced course, it was really fun. It was essentially, it's 15 days of these kind of conversations, but all around the principles, all around this deeper understanding. And it's really cool. So the themes, I've got different themes this time. We're going to talk about going beyond the paradigm, the thought feeling thing. We're going to talk about what is capital T truth, as opposed to a lot of very good ideas that are very helpful. And we're going to talk about living from mind, what it is to be in the world from this space, kind of a conversation we had a bit. And so if you guys would like to be part of that conversation, I know there was something on Facebook about sticker shock. If $79 is sticker shock, God bless you, and you probably shouldn't be spending it on a course. But we'd like to make it available to you guys for $79. It's going to go on sale to the general public next week. The first one sold out very quickly, within a week. I don't think we're going to sell out that quickly because we've made more space available. So it's not like a order now, but if you'd like to be part of it, we'd love to have you and keep the conversation going in that way. I kind of feel like I did my big summary at the beginning, so I'm not going to try and do another really cool big summary at the end. So I've enjoyed the week. I loved putting the program together. It was incredibly rewarding to me to see that people are benefiting from the grapefruit, right? To see that people are getting from what from this course. And for those of you listening to the recording who weren't here live, thank you for listening. And for those of you who were here live, and a special thank you for giving me something to talk about, and for giving everybody who listens to this program in the future real person reference points as opposed to cool teacher person reference points. Because I think it's often more helpful to hear it through the eyes of somebody who's exploring it than necessarily through the eyes of somebody who's been exploring it for a very long time. I got nothing else, folks. Have fun. Learn heaps. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, everyone. I'm going to unmute you all so we can say a noisy goodbye, and I will see some of you.
Bye. Bye. Bye.